Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Time now for Fitzy and Mega with Nick Fitzy Stevens and Megan Ottolini on WEEI.
Like to watch? Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
A couple of reasons why we'd bring Jim Montgomery's name up with the Boston Bruins. Mostly, aside from the fact that they're floundering, they look lost, literally look lost out there. He's also in the final year of his contract. So that can only go one of two ways, right, guys? Yeah. I mean, you're either extending at some point or you're cutting bait. I always ask this question, though, when we're talking about coaches in the crosshairs. Who out there is better than Jim Montgomery? And that's really the question you have to come to terms with if you're management or ownership. But then you look at management, you see Cam Neely, you look at ownership, the Jacobs family, the Boston Bruins, the history of success in that market, and the history of volatility. They don't mess around. They don't play games. And it's too early in the year to watch this thing just go up in flames, right? So that's the primary reason why I'm watching what Boston has going on.
Darren Drager reporting on the state of affairs with your Boston Bruins in the increasingly hot seat of Coach Jim Montgomery, who but a year and a half ago was the toast of the National Hockey League, the Boston Bruins, and the entire New England sports scene, as he coached, guided, and led the Bruins to the greatest regular season record in NHL history. But in this world of what have you done for me lately, Jim Montgomery was eliminated in seven games, then came back, won a series where they almost blew it to the Maple Leafs. Side note, as our excellent producer and Twitch operator Brian Frizzoco pointed out earlier this week, without the Maple Leafs, in a lot of ways, the Bruins would have been doomed over the past decade plus, at least ever since winning their Stanley Cup in 2011. And now Monty is off to a 4-6-1 start. The Bruins getting absolutely smashed the other night in Carolina.
Awful.
8-2. Awful. Swayman's playing like he didn't have a preseason. Spoiler alert, he didn't. Brad Marchand looks like he stared into the Ark of the Covenant. He's old and has had multiple surgeries. Pasta's underperforming. Everyone named Lindholm can pick up their game. There's no tough. There's no speed. The Bruins are skating in slush these days, Mego. The defense is a sad excuse
for what you
would expect
it to be. Would you like a sliver of good news, though?
Sure.
It's 1-0 Bruins over the Flyers right now.
Well, how do you like that, Joe?
In the second period.
Look at that. Trending now. Joe putting a smile on all the Bruins fans' faces. Who scored the goal?
Morgan Geeky.
Love it. All right, good. So that, you know what? They didn't get called soft, Mego, by their coach, but they heard their coach was under fire and are already responding today. I know Scott McLaughlin was kind enough to join us from EEI.com in the Sunday Skate and Skate Pod yesterday on the afternoon show and say he wouldn't be surprised if they have to pull the trigger. And I was just reading on the tweet machine as well here moments ago. Who said it? This came from a fellow on NHL Network. Here it is. Bill Lindsay. Quote, Jim Montgomery is not going to be the coach of the Boston Bruins by Thanksgiving. I've just got a feeling it's trending that way.
Whew, turkey's cooked.
That's it.
So
that's a turn and a half.
On that awful Halloween game, they got outshot 37-15.
15 shots on net. That's all they put up.
15 shots on net the entire game. Not for a period, for the entire game. And I think when you look at Montgomery, that's supposed to be part of his trademark of his coaching style, mm-hmm. is he has this super productive, high-flying style of offenses, and he can't get it going with this team. And you can look at the personnel and say, like, well, they're not Marchand, Pasternak, these guys aren't performing. And then he goes in and he tries to mix up the lines in order to light a fire under some of the top lines because the fourth line is the one that has had the most production offensively. It didn't work. And I think about in that clip that we played, it always kind of bothers me when, respectfully, when somebody comes out and says, well, if you fire that coach, who are you going to bring in? Mm-hmm. Who are you going to bring in? Well, sometimes it's not about, like, as stupid as it sounds, sometimes it's not about, like, hey, so-and-so is going to necessarily be better than the current coach. It's this coach has, it's run its course with the team. And if the locker
that
room
quickly.
Has totally disconnected from you and is tuning out your message, that's the end of the road. Like, you don't come back from that. You don't all of a sudden go, no, now the guys believe in me again. Unless you do something incredibly dramatic or some huge thing with the personnel on the team and that dressing room changes, there's no coming back from it. So I agree. Like, I think Montgomery is on coach watch right mm-hmm. now. Like, he will be gone soon. And you can say whether that's the right thing or the wrong thing, but don't go to the, well, who's going to replace him? The point is,
two in-house candidates,
course.
I believe. I'm not sure exactly who else league-wide they would consider or what kind of coach the Bruins need. I just have a hard time thinking that you could tune out somebody that quickly. Like, to me, and I know there have been some that have said this, this has to be a player issue.
Well, that quickly, he's had two seasons.
Yeah, and they made the playoffs both times, and they actually played better.
Last year was a little more of a bridge situation.
They played better than expected last year.
That's what I'm saying. And yeah. That's fine, but 2 years ago, when you're setting records in the regular season, and then the completely embarrassing collapse that they had, and all the shenanigans with the goalie rotation and all mm-hmm. that crap, like... It just...
Yeah, what does goalie Bob say about all this?
I know.
Where's he been?
Goalie Bob.
Goalie Bob.
What if goalie Bob's the one who's goalie ultimately going to take over?
I think the Bruins did themselves absolutely...
You
have to ask goalie Bob a little more. You know, I had a bad feeling about this season before night one, before any of the recent hot seat stuff that...
Why is that?
Scoops Keefe. I hated the way the entire Swayman thing was handled. Why yeah. that played out over a whole freaking summer. You didn't get him in the building early on. They end up going, like, you know what he wanted. You know what the going rate for a top flight goalie is. You got rid of all of your leverage when you traded away. When you traded away Ullmark. I had Lindholm on the mind. When you traded away Ullmark, who, by the way, got an $8 million a year deal from the Senators as well. So you see, that's going rate. He had played well. You decided Swayman was your guy, though. So pay the man. But instead, you drag it out. It becomes acrimonious. There's bad blood between the... Now he's here for 8 years, but he's playing like he's in July shape, but it's November.
Yeah.
Like, that's problematic. And I think when things like that happen, it sets a bad tone for the team. I remember the whole Dion Branch thing back at the end of 2005. Like, he outperformed his contract. He was up for a deal. He wanted something... He wanted, like, decent wide receiver one money, which he earned and deserved. And Belichick wasn't going to pay him and traded him away for a first-round pick. Now, they ended up getting a great pick. But then Brady was unhappy. And then your quarterback's unhappy. Then the offense is unhappy. Then the locker room has bad chemistry. And everyone thinks they could be the one to go. And now other people in the locker room have to be wondering, like, if Swayman played this well and is our future between the pipes in the face of the Bruins going forward, and they're going to do this with him, could they do that? Could they drag it out with me? Am I disposable to them? Do I matter to them? Like, I just think it's a bad message. And so now everything is off with... They need to win like 3 games in a row and pipe everyone down and shut up and just get back to playing hockey and quit complaining and finding excuses.
It's also with this group. Look, I know it's not the exact same group that's been there over the last decade.
Right.
But it's led by Marchand right now. And you look at the group, how many coaches are they going to go through before they win another Stanley Cup?
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. It's a very strange era of Bruins when you look back basically to the beginning of the Bergeron era and this whole time that Marchand's been there. And you go, it's a tremendous underachievement for mm-hmm. how many shots they've had at the Stanley Cup. And then they go through these coaches. It's like it feels like the shelf life for the coaching relationship is getting shorter and shorter with whatever group is in that locker room.
Yeah. Do you look upon this run of the Bruins as a disappointment?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's crazy. An underachievement. It's not the same.
One cup, three appearances in the final.
It's
probably could have had more.
It's not the same level as like the most recent big three with the Celtics, mm-hmm. where they should have had more than one title.
They should have had more than one title. But do you look upon that run of the, now they were only together for 5 years, do you look upon them as a disappointment?
The Celtics?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
What, really?
Oh my God, yeah. They should have had more than one championship.
Well, I think we've stumbled across something. 617-779.
I feel like everybody feels that way.
I don't look upon that era of the Celtics as a disappointment.
They only got one banner.
It's disappointing that they only got one banner, but
yeah,
I do not look at them as, wow.
I can't believe you don't feel that way.
Tough love, Mego.
I mean, you
got to remember, she would rather take Tom Brady over the 2004 Red Sox.
That was a super team.
Good point. I was all in my feels after our show last weekend.
about that caller
in the 11 o'clock hour who said that the grandfather went to the grave and said to the grandmother, like, they finally did it. Oh my God, that just wrecked me.
Yeah, that was great.
What's that?
I don't have the same attachment.
No, I know you don't, but that's the thing.
It's nice for everyone else.
It is. It's very nice for everyone else. But that was great. That was a lovely call and a great moment. Okay, Mego, this just in. Well, Drake May is going to start tomorrow. So there you go. There's that, in case you haven't heard. I'm going to repeat that every 15 minutes. That is our job. We are a sports radio station. We do sports news. We do sports analysis. We do sports talk. We do sports entertainment. All of it. But I will continue to inform the masses Drake May has been cleared to play. But also, my broadcast partner, my pal, Snacks O'Reilly over here, Megan Ottolini. The Bruins run is a disappointment, and the Celtics big three of Garnett and Pierce and Ray Allen is a disappointment as well. You and I have had some Saturday issues with green teamers that might come for you now.
I know. They get mad. I do want to talk about this topic, though, when we come back from trending.
Mm-hmm.
The Greg Olson appearance that was on the Ryan Russillo podcast, mm-hmm. where he discussed the issue with young quarterbacks in the league.
Houston, we got a problem.
Fascinating, and it makes me scared for Drake May. Like, not scared in terms of his injury availability or anything. It just makes me scared when I hear what Greg Olson says about what the problem is with the development of quarterbacks in the league right now. And ding, 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 like the bells that go off around Drake May.
We got a lot going on right here. I'm going to grab a quick call before Joe Braverman gets you guys trending and up to date on sports news. Ed's been hanging around for a while. Ed, what's up, man?
Kyle Dugger, if Belichick was here, would this be an option of him being let go?
Absolutely not. No way.
Well, Dugger might not be here.
Yeah, no, but Ed's wondering, would
I'm
Kyle
saying he
Dugger...
might not be here in the first place because Bill didn't re-sign
good...
him.
Excellent. You know
he was going to walk.
Good point. That's right. There. You know what? That's the thing, Ed. And thanks for the call. Kyle Dugger may not have been re-signed by Belichick in the first place. They drafted Mapu to take his place. And now they're probably thinking, you know what? Bill was probably right. We should just let him go.
Wait, why did we do that? Oh, that's right. There's a floor of salary that you have to hit in the NFL.
If they think Hawkins and Pettis and Mapu and maybe John Jones are good enough to fill in the absence of Peppers, you're not as stout in run defense or the back end. But what do you think you can get for Kyle Dugger? A third?
No, that's too high. I'd be impressed if they get a fourth.
Why would you move him?
I don't think that they will, to be honest.
Wow.
But yeah, if Belichick was here, would he be on the chopping or on the trade block? He probably wouldn't be here.
Because he probably wouldn't be here, so there you go. 617-779-7937. There you go. Now let's get you up to date with Joe Braverman.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But over the last couple of years, what we're seeing is the Brock Purdy's, the young players who are coming into the league and finding success and getting grounded and getting rooted, played 48 games in major college football. They threw three picks in a game. They lost. They won. They played in the rain. They had good days, bad days. They worked through a lot of the normal things that are going to happen at the quarterback position. The difference was, instead of working it out on an NFL level as the number one overall pick or the first round pick or whatever pick you are, you work through it in Iowa. You work through it in Virginia, wherever, and it's just a different experience.
From the Fox Broadcasting Company, number two NFL color analyst Greg Olson, who does an excellent job, talking about the current state of affairs in quarterbacking in the NFL. And Mego, this comes after a tweet that I bookmarked specifically for this show this week that I thought was rather interesting and something I would like to get down to as well. Came across the old Twix wire here. Oh, where is it, for goodness sakes? Anyway, Greg Olson going on about the idea that the NFL has a quarterback development problem, and he's not the only one who believes so, that these guys, like your guy Jaden Daniels, will say, for example, he started 55 games in college.
Right.
He came in.
He was in college for a decade.
Literally for a decade. He came in primed and experienced and prepared. Some of these other guys, like Drake May, only started two seasons, but we're seeing a lot of really positive signs.
Maybe he played 30 games.
Maybe he's an outlier. Played half as much as Jaden Daniels. Maybe he's an outlier. Maybe he's different. Maybe he's just built different. Maybe he's just at a natural calm. Maybe he's an easy leader. Who knows? But it seems the combination of his physical tools, experience, and demeanor are making for a pro-caliber quarterback. A lot of these other guys just do not seem to have it at all. And I wonder, as people are questioning whether or not these kids are getting ushered in too quickly and being asked to do too much, as one and another, like 2021 draft class right now looks like an abject disaster. But a few years ago, we thought it was a superstar smash. Do you think that they have a quarterback development problem in the NFL? And how do you think they could possibly fix it?
So I absolutely do think that there is. And I want to get to the second clip from Greg Olson, because I think this expresses even more so why you see this churn with rookie quarterbacks, which to me is fascinating. And part of it is just having covered the team that's going through trying to pick a quarterback in the draft, and the amount of people who you hear quoting these different statistics of your odds of finding a quarterback in the first round, or your odds of having somebody who's a top five pick actually be a starting quarterback 5 years later and get to a second contract and blah, blah, blah. Like, everybody wants to go with the safest route that they feel in the draft when you have draft capital that high and you're rebuilding a team. And the fact of the matter is, when you look across the league, most starting quarterbacks are first round picks.
They are
first round picks. Most of them are. It's really nice to see certain guys like Geno Smith or Baker Mayfield, guys who were super high draft picks, now have this resurgence with other teams where you go, oh, I guess he didn't suck. You know, maybe he was just in a bad development situation. Or in Baker Mayfield's case, somebody makes a Faustian bargain for Deshaun Watson, and you see how that works out. Karma's a bitch. So I want to play this a little bit from Greg Olson, because I think this is a really interesting way of looking at it, and I promise that the football dorks will appreciate this.
Asking your quarterback to stand in the shotgun, catch the ball, and play and throw the ball every down is virtually impossible in today's day and age. But these guys don't learn to get under center. They've never taken an under center snap in their lives. Their entire lives have been 7-on-7 football. It's been passing offense. I coach middle school football here at my kid's school. Of the 8 games we played, 6 of the teams never one time lined up under center, never one time had 2 backs in the backfield, and never one time had a tight end. These kids just don't learn real football. And now we're seeing the evolution of football at the NFL level. The best teams, they get under center. It's play action. The reason they're doing that is because it takes the stress load off the quarterback. So I think there is a developmental problem in the whole pipeline of quarterbacks, from high school to college, and then, of course, to the NFL. We don't develop them, and we don't give them the skills to succeed as the levels increase. And then we also haven't yet bought into the style of offenses that alleviate some of the pressure from the position. We want the entire game to be on their shoulders, and then we get mad when they can't handle it at 22 years old. So there is no doubt we have a quarterback problem in the NFL.
So I just think Greg Olson summarized that was in such
Greg
an insightful
Olson once
way.
Again on the Ryan Russillo podcast. That is so insightful. That is so sharp. I'm sitting here now from a personal, selfish level. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I've been coaching my kids grade five, six flag football. We're the only team that basically lines up under center half the plays.
Yeah.
We run a ton of play action. I use eye formation and wishbone.
There you go. Making good football players for
just
the future.
Because, you know what it does? It just makes people, when your entire game is predicated around like trying to deceive people or buy a half second of hesitation to let a receiver slip by somebody or go deep and just create doubt in the mind of an oncoming defender, and everyone is just constantly doing like jets, RPO and shotgun this and trips that, like, you know, rub routes. How about just good old-fashioned football? He's right. You know, sorry for the personal aside there, but like, I'm just hearing that. And I love it. And it still works. Like, I think one of the greatest plays ever, the play that used to drive me nuts, was when Peyton Manning would be in the I formation with Edger and James, and they would do stretch left or stretch right. And Peyton would run all the way with Edger and James, all the way across the line. And that what he's basically doing is buying 1, 2, 3 seconds for the safeties to go, oh, crap, is it going to be a run? Like, do I commit to the run or do I stay back? And he would pull the ball immediately and then fire a dart down the middle to Austin Collie or Marvin Harrison or Reggie Wayne. And it worked every time. And it's that simple as opposed to all the crap that they're asking these quarterbacks to do, Mago. And here I found the tweet. This is from an ESPN film analyst. From a couple days back, Anthony Richardson, 22, benched. Bryce Young, 23, benched. Trey Lance, 24, benched. Justin Fields, 25, bench. Will Levis, 25, bench. Zach Wilson, 25, bench. Mac Jones, 26, bench. Kenny Pickett, 26, bench. The NFL has a legitimate QB development problem. That from at the Block Spot, Sam Block, a film analyst at ESPN. Now, look, every quarterback's not going to work out. Some were meant to be college superstars and don't have what it takes for the pros. But the fact that these guys, you know, all probably came in, like Greg Olson said, taking every snap in the shotgun.
And who does that sound like, Fitzy? It's Drake May. That was one of the major criticisms of him coming out of college was he doesn't line up under center.
Alex Van Pelt, you're our only hope.
He's going to have to develop that. Now, does that mean that Drake May has been a disaster under center and he's doomed to be one of these guys who's going to be benched in a season and a half? Absolutely not. I think that he's taken every challenge that has been thrown at him, and there's been a lot, and he's risen to the occasion. And there's going to be a lot of lumps that he takes, and there's going to be points where his transition into the NFL is going to look more awkward than it has so far, where I think it's been pretty smooth. But at the same time, when I heard that, I thought, oh my God, like, that is a bad situation for a quarterback. That's who he's talking about, a quarterback who played 30 games in college and who only lines up in shotgun. That's Drake May. Yep. Now, I think that he will be, hopefully, the exception to the rule of what Greg Olson is talking about there, which is you want somebody who's played over 40 games, who knows how to line up under center, and can play in a pro-style offense. Mm-hmm. I just look at it, and it just set off alarm bells for me, because I went, I'd still rather have that issue of, like, the guy hasn't lined up under center and he hasn't played a ton of games than, like, the guy has a noodle arm. Or the guy's a great processor, but he doesn't have the physical makeup and he doesn't have the makeup with the locker room. That's what we just went through. I'd rather have Drake May with these shortcomings that hopefully he can develop through and he seems to have the character to than what we just went through.
First two comments to that tweet that I just shared. First one from at Dan Kelly 66. The NFL has a QB evaluation problem. Okay, possibly so. But listen to this one. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud, Purdy, Nix, Lawrence, Love, Hurts, Herbert, Tua, Burrow, Murray, Jackson, all young, all in their early to mid-20s. And his summation is some dudes, especially QBs in the NFL, just can't make it. So to this I would say, okay, Caleb Williams, long-term starter in college football. Jaden Daniels, like we just said, 5 years college football. CJ Stroud, several years at Ohio State at a pro-level program where they teach you a pro style of offense, and it's not just shotgun RPO mayhem. Brock Purdy, you heard Greg Williams espousing his values. Bo Nix is like 50. is literally an old man, same age as Trevor Lawrence, for God's sake.
Bo Nix has the most suspect hairstyle I've ever seen in the NFL.
And he definitely does look like a store brand action hero. All these guys, Jordan Love, sat behind, like started for a couple years in college, then sat down for years and watched. So if anything, what this tells me is the inability to get kids acclimated to the pro style of offense, in addition to rushing them to the fore, can be a very risky proposition. Now, I can see why this would put your ears up and make you fearful
for me. But then I hear also the side of it, like what I appreciate so much from Greg Olson in that appearance on the Ryan Russillo podcast is he's saying, we put all of this on them. Mm-hmm. And then at 22, when they Zach Wilson themselves, mm-hmm. we go, oh, well, you can't draft a quarterback high, or it's not worth it, or blah, blah, blah. Like, we come up with all these reasons about why it didn't work out, or he just doesn't have it. He's just a guy. And it's like, well, no, there's ways that you can control this, and that when you're drafting and you're looking at talent, you can look at it. It scares me to extremes that the two big parts of it that Greg Olson is describing is Drake May. But again, I still, from what I've seen in the sample size of covering him so far, I think he has other makeup that should make him able to rise above that. And maybe this will be a situation where people will point at the Patriots and say, yeah, but they took a guy who only played 30 games and was in shotgun all the time in college. And mm-hmm. look, Drake May is awesome. And maybe they won't be a cautionary tale. They'll be the exception to the rule.
And what happens if, and this was my feeling from Jump Street, I know nobody in town was impressed by or enamored with the Alex Van Pelt selection. I get it. But what if, even though his offense at times lacks a little imagination mm-hmm. or creativity and is a little too predictable for our liking, if he is able to take Drake May and show him how you play quarterback in the pros and, you know, mold him into an all-around quarterback that can, if you need to go hurry up and full shotgun and use his running, scooting, and laser rocket arm to the best of its ability, great. But also teaching him play action, teaching him the ropes under center, teaching him multiple formations that may seem like old school football. If he makes him into a complete overall package while trying to figure out whatever the future and direction of the Patriots offense is, then maybe, just maybe, Alex Van Pelt ultimately could, not saying is now, but could be the right guy for Drake May and this offense.
Right. Well, that's the second part, is where you lose me. So right. Is he the right guy for Drake May? I think he could be a fantastic quarterback's coach, but he's clearly in a position that's above that. And yeah. Look, throw T.C. McCartney in there, probably throw Ben mm-hmm. McAdoo in there because he works with the quarterbacks. Is one little
Have we
thing.
Even seen him this season?
I learned that from Joe Milton this week, is that Ben McAdoo does indeed work with quarterbacks.
He does.
That's an odd question.
So, the development stuff with Drake May is more important to me than, honestly, how cohesive and productive your offense mm-hmm. looks week to week. Of course, I want them to be putting up more than 21 points and to be scoring touchdowns, and Drake yep. May is a huge part of that. But I want him to develop into a pro quarterback. And so if it ends up that Van Pelt is the guy who can shepherd him through that process, yes, that's extremely valuable. I just look at it and I go, well, there's probably a lot of talented quarterback guys around the league. Mm-hmm. Can you get somebody with a nice playbook, a good system, who now you can have a quarterback's coach and have somebody who's got play calling that's a little bit more modern? Because, again, I don't want to say I don't want the modern aspects of the offense in
right.
there. I do. I just think that when you're looking at what's wrong with the quarterbacks, why are these quarterbacks flaming out so early? The other side of it, of course, is what you were talking about before, Fitzy, which is changing the CBA mm-hmm. and having these rookie contracts. Oh my God. We need to seize on the rookie contracts so that we can build out the rest of the roster around that. Like, that has also become a cheat code that teams look at and go, well, of course, we're going to keep going back in the draft and back in the draft, because if we hit on a guy on a rookie contract, then we can go and we can get Tyreek Hill.
Right.
Then we can go and we can spend a lot on defense. We can get these big stars because we have the rookie contract to play through.
The Chicago Bears are going to be the rare instance of someone that spent high capital on a quarterback. That quarterback didn't work out to their liking. now kind of not also to the Steelers' liking, though I still think Justin Fields has more to offer the NFL, and then get lucky enough with their draft to come back 4 years, 3 years.
You know who else just did that?
Who's that?
The Niners.
Oh, yeah.
Same exact draft.
I keep forgetting that they absolutely just whizzed away a pick on Trey Lance.
Oh, yeah, Brock Purdy.
Wait, traded multiple picks to get it. Like, they didn't pull a pick. The Niners pulled a Panthers. The Bears just took Justin Fields, and then they were the recipient of an absurd offer for their draft pick, and that landed them Caleb Williams. So it worked out for them, and the Niners stepped in blank when they got Brock Purdy at the end of the draft and wasted all that capital on Trey Lance, who it seems like can't play. While you were just talking there for a second, I stopped to think, so who do we have to blame for this? You can't just blame like a Cliff Kingsbury or somebody who introduces...
Not with what he's doing with Jaden Daniels.
You sure can't. But Jaden Daniels obviously is well-molded clay at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So he's working with a more refined, knowledgeable product. He's one of the guys, though, that introduced the air raid offense, which people became immediately enamored of. Like, this is way more fun. Spreading everyone around, throwing it all over the field. This is offense. This is the mm-hmm. evolution of football. But look at two of the offensive minds in the NFL right now that everybody wants to grab a root or a branch or a sapling of. It's Sean McVay and it's Kyle Shanahan. And I ask you, are Brock Purdy and Matthew Stafford always in shotgun with five wide on every mm-mm. play? No.
No, absolutely not.
Not even close.
No. And so, again, part of it is the systems. I do think that a big part of it, like the text line is saying, it's a college problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what Greg Olson
could
was
be
saying.
A high school problem.
Part
too.
Of it is the development overall of quarterbacks from being in Pop Warner upwards to everybody goes to these passing camps. It's all about quarterbacks and receivers, and you know all these guys like Cam Newton runs those, and kids love it. It's fun. But the other part of it, as I said before, I do think that there's just such an economic advantage to going in and getting that rookie quarterback. And the more that you see these guys now of this generation in this CBA mm-hmm. get these second shots, look at Jared Goff, one of the best offenses in the entire league, if not the best, in Detroit. And Jared Goff looked like he was another one of these total spaz flameouts when he was with LA.
He's going to end up running two of the top 20 offenses in NFL history.
How many of these examples do we need to say you can't just make a decision about a quarterback in 2 or 3 years? That's the problem.
Yeah, that's a great point. He is going to operate two of the top 20 offenses in NFL history, which is kind of mind-blowing as well. But he does a little bit of everything as well, and it should just show you it is the system. These guys all know how to hand the ball off. They all know how to throw a 10-yard out. They all know how to throw a post and a fly and a curl and a hook and everything else. It's a matter of the system. That's why, I'll tell you what, the way that that offense has evolved in Detroit, yeah, sure, it's amazing what they've done with Goff, and everybody loves Dan Campbell. Yeah, Mego.
Burn a kneecap.
Yeah, my bite. All kneecaps and butts. But who he should be most impressed?
Is Dan Campbell Southern? I didn't realize.
Yeah. Hey, Braverman, shut up.
Yeah. He's turning into Sling Blade. Dan Campbell's turning
I do like French fried potatoes. Mm-hmm.
And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
Yep, yeah, on the way down, right. We're going to do that as well.
I don't know where Dan Campbell's from, but he definitely
doesn't matter. Shut up.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
I will beat your ass. But who I'm most impressed with is Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Their offensive coordinator. He should be number one atop everyone's list next year. Why? Because of the way that he's commanded this offense, worked with all these players, turned around a Goff. When people get concerned about, oh, is he just an offensive guru or can he be a program builder? To me, I think Ben Johnson would have the it you need to turn around a program as well. It starts at the root, just like everything in America, like everything that's bad in this world. It starts at home. We need to be core nuclear family and teach our kids proper values. And when it comes to football, take your time, show them how to play football, how to play quarterback properly, build your program out that way. This was a very wholesome and helpful segment.
By the way, Fitzy, you do win the argument. He was born in Clifton, Texas.
See?
Nice.
Yeah. Come in there and smash your ass. Come back at me like that on the radio. 617-779-7937.
Are we going to finish up with dog talk?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Dog talk and a prediction for Patriots and Titans coming up to wrap up another stellar edition of Fitzy and Mego. Yeah, radio and EEI. Yesterday, Andy Hart and I wrapped up the WEEI afternoon show.
As I filled in for Christian Arcan here on EEI.
Is that Arcan?
Yep.
That was not. You need to work on that one.
What are you talking about, Mago? Here, 617-779-7979.
You're making it too lounge singery.
No,
would you rather have that impression or the Dan Campbell?
The Dan Campbell one's pretty good.
I think it's pretty good as well. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Coming up next on Campbell and Arcan. Yeah, what is coming up next on the show?
No,
I describe my Christian Arcan impersonation as a drunk, belligerent Harrison Ford.
That's what you think of Arcan?
I didn't kill my wife. 617-779-7.
So yesterday we ended the program talking about football, fathers and sons. Andy, I know, was going to his son Jackson's, an excellent young football player, his son's final regular season high school football game. He was getting all up in his feels about that.
Aww.
Yep, and he thought I was actually coaching last night, but I had the bye, and we don't coach until the semifinals next Friday night. And I was just telling you during the break, I don't know if I'm going to be able to think about anything else all week long because I want to get these kids, this awesome crew of kids I've had the pleasure of coaching all week long, all season long. I want to get them a title so bad. My son's never won a championship in anything yet, but this is the first time I've ever been his head coach in anything as well. So I would just love to like forge that, you know, finish the job.
Yeah.
And not be the 2007 Patriots equivalent of flag football because we haven't lost yet. And damn it, now I don't want to get all up in my head.
Knocking
anyway,
wood over here.
So we finished with football last week, and now we're going to finish how we should on Fitzy and Mego with dog talk. Mego, how's the pup?
Okay, so I made a huge mistake on Halloween.
What'd you do?
I felt so bad. So I love my dog more than anything. Anyone.
Your husband could be listening.
More, he knows.
Okay.
He's the dog is at the top of everything.
Okay.
So we were dressed up. We went to a Scream-themed Halloween party on Halloween. So my husband was dressed in
scary movies,
yeah,
Sydney?
In the full ghost-faced outfit.
Yep, nice.
And he walked out, and I said, oh, put on the mask and go see Killington and see if she, like, knows it's you because she'll probably bark at you.
You're kidding.
He walks out in the full Scream outfit with the ghost face mask, walks into the kitchen and like puts his hands out to say hi to her. Her eyes were like dinner plates. She runs across the floor, doesn't make a noise, tries to scamper and crawl up the kitchen counter and pees all over the kitchen floor.
Yo, no, it backfired.
I felt so awful. She was like trembling.
She didn't know what it was. She's super smart. My dog.
That's a smart reaction?
Yes, she recognized this as an invader or someone that didn't belong there, and she was terrified for herself and possibly for you guys as well.
It was so,
my dog would sit there and wait until that person feeds her.
Yeah,
feeds him.
Well, we gave her like 12 cookies after, like dog cookies after that, biscuits, because we felt so guilty. I was like, oh my God, I thought you would just bark at it. No, she peed all over the floor.
Aww.
And I deserved to clean it up because I felt horrible. It was so sad.
It was a fun little prank. It was a dog. Yeah, no, my dog would literally think that it's just going to, like, that's cool. Are you going to feed me? No?
I thought maybe she would, like, roll over on her back and want a tummy rub because she usually does that. Something about that mask.
Is she protective of you guys?
Not at all.
No?
No. Again, like, she's not a guard dog or anything. She just was terrified.
All right, your prediction for tomorrow, Mego. I got Patriots with Drake May playing. I have Patriots 23, Titans 13.
Okay, close. I say Patriots 17, Titans 10.
17 to 10. Two unders, two Patriots covers. What a gross game indeed. But Drake May is starting, everybody. Drake May cleared to play. That's the Fitzy and Mego show for Saturday, November 2nd, 2024. Great job, Braverman. If you like the show, say, way to go, Joe. If not, blame Braverman. Good job. She's at Megan_Ottolini tomorrow on the WEEI morning program here from 10 to 1 on Football Sunday. And I'll have you on the Six Rings postgame show with Andy Hart right after Pats and Titans. Take care. God bless. Be kind to your kids. Don't get behind the wheel if you've had too many. And let's go, Pats. See you, everybody. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.